Our sermon today is based on a reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 8 through 16. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are buried outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. God, open our hearts and place inside them your word to us this day. I am really glad we don't have to adhere to the Old Testament system of animal sacrifice any longer. Not only because I'm an animal lover, I can see myself now raising a lamb and then finding out I would have to bring it to the priest to be slaughtered for my family's Passover dinner. It would not have been a positive experience. When you read the first five books of the Bible called the Torah and read all the descriptions of the sacrifices the ancient Israelites were required to make, it simply boggles the mind. For example, when the temple was dedicated, the Bible says so many sheep and oxen were sacrificed that they could not be counted. Just think about all the mess, the blood, the entrails, the mooing and the baaing and everything else. I'm so very glad we don't have to do sacrifices of that sort anymore. Jesus' death on the cross put an end to all that for us New Testament believers. But wait, in these verses from Hebrews, we encounter a strange phrase. The writer of Hebrews tells us we must continually make a sacrifice of praise to God. So in a way, we still have a sacrifice to make to show our love for and devotion to God and to honor God. But yet, why is praise a sacrifice? How do you make a sacrifice of praise? Sacrificing, as we all know, means giving up something dear to you or something that cost you something. In ancient times, it meant giving up a part of your flock, a sheep or a bull, the best one, because you decided that was the price for showing your devotion to God, and you were willing to give it up. Or perhaps you committed a sin and had to make atonement with a certain sacrifice. In that sense, in the sense of giving something important, giving up something important to you, how does praise become a sacrifice? Another word for sacrifice is offering, but I will stick here to the idea of giving up something as the definition of a sacrifice and not giving up something in order to get something else. What must you give up in order to make a proper sacrifice of praise? Well, I came up with an acronym using the letters in the word praise of the things we need to sacrifice and the things we need to take up in their place in order to praise God the way we should. For the letter P, we need to sacrifice procrastination. I'm a terrible procrastinator, and I'm sure I will remedy this habit sometime. Sometimes we let the cares and the worries of the world override our obligation, our duty, indeed our need to offer praise to God. We think we'll just praise God later, but we need to praise God now. We need to praise God persistently. We need to substitute perseverance for procrastination. We shouldn't put praise off. Psalms 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." That's what we need, continual praise all the time, 24/7. Consistently, persistently, nonstop praise. For the letter R, we need to sacrifice relaxation and take on renewal. Sometimes we drop our guard about offering the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we don't offer a deliberate word of thanks to God for all God does for us. We might even think, oh, well, God knows I'm grateful for that unexpected windfall or for that answer to my prayer. I don't have to offer a specific thanksgiving just for that, do I? Yes, you do. Acknowledging God and all God does for you is an important part of our walk as Christians, and that leads to renewal. The more we praise God, the more we want to praise God, until we're finding we're even thanking God for the smallest things: food when you're hungry, a cold drink of water on a hot day, a smile from a stranger on the street. All these and many more are blessings from God. Sometimes we miss them, and sometimes we miss praise opportunities because we give it a rest, we relax. We think, oh, come now, do I have to praise God for everything? Yes, we do, because everything we have and everything we are comes from God, and we need to be sure to let God know we are grateful for each and every one of those things. We need to remember to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In Revelation 4, we read about the four beasts and the 24 elders who surround God's throne in heaven, who rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So, like those four beasts and those 24 elders, we must not relax. We must remember to keep on praising God for even the little things. And as we count our many blessings and name them one by one, we find our strength and our faith in God renewed. The letter A is next. A stands for attitude, adjustment. We have to watch our attitude. It can be a pitfall sometimes. We have to be sure we're not being too casual or too complacent, or that we're taking the Lord's goodness to us for granted. When someone is as good to us as God is, sometimes our human nature tackles us and we forget that God wants and maybe even needs to hear our praise for everything God gives us. We need to let our attitude of praise be properly grateful, humble, and joyful. Does your attitude need an adjustment? Read a psalm. They're chock full of praise. Claim one as your personal praise psalm, and every time your attitude needs adjusting, read it. What about the letter I? We need to sacrifice indifference for introspection. You just can't praise God if you're indifferent. Yeah, Lord, thanks, whatever. Now, what kind of attitude is that? Is that any way to thank the great God of the universe for the care, the providence, the deliverance, the love God gives us? A spirit of indifference may start you thinking everything you get has come to you of your own work and will, not God's. When you get like that, you have to do some introspection. And you'll find yourself coming to the conclusion that this God we claim has wonderful plans in mind for you. And the more you think about how God has helped you in the past, is helping you now in the present, and will be there to help you in the future, well, indifference just melts away. Like the song, "How Great Thou Art," says, when you begin to think about just what God has done in your life, you just have to burst into songs of praise sometimes. Christ sanctifies our lips, which otherwise are unclean, and that's why we can sing God's praises. But Jesus also warned us about indifference in Revelation 3, 15 through 16. Speaking to one of the seven churches, he said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Really, how can you be lukewarm, indifference, when you think of all God has done for you? Replace indifference with introspection. Look inside yourself and see how much more you can praise God for. For the letter S, I suggest we substitute for self-pity, steadfastness. How can you praise God if you're full of self-pity? Self-pity might cause you to think about all that you don't have instead of all that you've got. All that God has graciously given you, not because you earned it, not because you deserve it, but simply because God loves you and wants you to have all good things. But you might find yourself beginning to compare yourself to someone else, seeing all the neat things they have that you don't have. And you might find yourself thinking God loves you less than the person you're comparing yourself to. That is unproductive and disrespecting of God. We need to praise God for giving us all we have, however much it is. It's like the manna in the wilderness. Everybody got exactly what they needed, no more, no less. Sure, sometimes it looks as though someone else has more than you, but really, if you have God in your life and Jesus in your heart, what more do you need? And on that same note, how can you be filled with self-pity when these two love you so very, very much? You might think you're not worthy of their love, and you're right. You're not. No one of us is. But that is precisely why God's love is so awesome and Jesus' own sacrifice so endearing and inspiring. They did what they did for us because in their eyes, we are worth loving and worth dying for. There's no room for self-pity when you think about it like that. Fight against self-pity by turning a steadfast heart and mind to remembering everything God has done for you, is doing for you, and will do for you. That'll make you praise. Stop for a moment, for a few minutes every day, and praise God for something. Make it a steadfast habit. And as for E, well, we are stuck in an earthly dimension right now. But you know what it's doing? It's getting us ready for eternity, for the time when Jesus returns and we see him face to face and our praise becomes even more joyful. We're going to worship God forever and ever and ever as we stand before God's throne, so we might as well start now. This is the dress rehearsal for the real thing. The sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the fruit of the lips, our words of praise, these are parts of the new way we live as disciples of Christ. We don't make animal sacrifices, but our sacrifice of praise needs to be performed as solemnly and as humbly and as properly and as often as the animal sacrifices of our Israelite ancestors. There was a saying of the rabbis, "At a future time, all sacrifices shall cease, but praises shall not cease." With our praise, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God, giving God our perseverance, letting God renew us and adjust our attitude, becoming introspective and listening for the still small voice of God in our hearts, growing ever more steadfast in our praise as we walk toward the exciting eternity of praising Jesus in heaven. By honoring God with our lives and our lips each and every day, by offering God worship coming from the heart, we do indeed make a true sacrifice of praise. Let us pray. Praiseworthy God, we offer to you the sacrifice of praise. Take away our procrastination, our relaxation, our attitudes, our indifference, our self-pity, and our earthliness to bring to you words and deeds of thanksgiving. Help us to persevere, to be renewed, to adjust our attitudes, to be introspective and steadfast, and keep our eyes on eternity. For all things large and small, even in those times when our hearts are wearied and troubled, may we continue to thank you and praise you for all that you do for us, and especially for sending to us your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice, in whose name we pray. Amen.